Are you available? You know, for 6 weeks now, you have made yourself available. On a Wednesday night, our attendance has just been outstanding. Outstanding. And I kind of felt like maybe as we got into May, that people wouldn't feel as available, wouldn't come in and make themselves available. But you did not disappoint. Because one of the habits was hunger. Oh, we're hungry. One of those habits we talked about last week was expectation, that anticipation for what God's going to do. He'll do it if you make yourself available to receive it and let it flow through you, right? Are you ready tonight, church? Can you say, I'm available, heaven, for whatever you have for me? I don't care what it is. Yep, you can give him praise. Give him praise. He'll tell you if you have a mindset to be available for him. There is the roadblock, church. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I'm available for you. Lord God, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, however you want me to do it, whenever you want me to do it, Lord God, those four things I have prayed almost my entire life. Lord God, I will continue to pray those things. Lord, I pray the Cross Point Church does the same. And we go through this evening and just continue to make ourselves available. And then as we get ready to depart, Lord God, I pray that your spirit continues to move. Lays on our hearts an attitude of availability. Whatever you need, Lord. Whatever you need, send me. Send me, Lord. The attitude of the hearts of Cross Point tonight. Lord God, send us. We will respond. We'll do what you call us to do. Even if we don't know what that is, we're still going to be available to do it. Make it tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Before you sit down, grab at least two people, folks, and say, I am available tonight for what heaven has. Right? I'm available. Amen. Folks, I want you to do me a favor as you're doing that. Thank you, Tim. Would you let the worship team know how much you appreciate them? These folks have made themselves available with extra practices and time and commitment for these last 6 weeks, and we don't normally do services like this in the worship center on a Wednesday night, and the fine people on this worship team made themselves available, and I so appreciate them. I truly do. And the people in our sound booth and media booth and the people that prepare the slides and do all those things, the people in a cafe, the people that are helping with food and pizza, and Pastor Mike, who slaves all day on Wednesdays to make the pizza, and all those things, church, give them praise and let them know you honor them. We appreciate them. I appreciate them tonight. Now, I don't know if you were here on Sunday morning, but wow. We had church on Sunday morning, right? People got baptized, things were happening, and we were blessed. And, you know, I'm kind of sad that this is our last Wednesday night, because I have thoroughly enjoyed all the extra work of putting all this stuff together, right? It's been good. I have. I'm being serious. It's been really a blessing to me to spend more time and study, and we're going to talk about that tonight, and I just so appreciate all of you. I am just very humbled that you have continued to come out on a Wednesday night and bless us with your presence and come into the house, and thank you so much. And boy, I tell you, that the neighborhood knows something's going on at this church. They know something's going on because this church makes themselves available, and I appreciate that. Church, we are going to move in to study the last of our divine habits, the series that I have been preaching for the last 7 weeks, Position for More, is coming to a conclusion this coming Sunday, and this tonight will be the last Wednesday night that we study some of these habits. So I am just really kind of like feeling kind of strange, like I won't be doing another habit next week, right? I've gotten into the habit of preparing for Wednesday nights, more than we would before, right? Yeah. It's a habit now. So, boy, it's we might just have to come back, right? There you go. Charles, thank you. And whoever, yeah, thank you. Yep. My team over here cheering me on. Thank you so much. 6 practical habits that lead to increase or growth or multiplication. We are studying that. Now, remember, church, a habit is a behavior pattern developed by frequent repetition. 6 weeks gave us a habit. We developed a habit of coming into this house. Let's do a quick, really fast review of our habits, okay? The habit of prayer we launched on week 1, that's our dependence on God. Just really short and sweet, it's our dependence on God. When we develop the habit of prayer, it's not just praying for something, it's the habit of doing it, like repetition. The habit of God's word shapes our thinking. That shapes our thinking. And the more habit you develop reading God's word, the more your thinking gets shaped for kingdom, right? Habit of hunger keeps us pursuing more of God. The hungrier you get, the more you pursue, right? The habit of agreement, that strengthens our relationships. We studied with God, with ourselves, and with others. In agreement, right? The expectation was last week. That's our anticipation of what God's going to do next. Aren't you just can't wait, right? God's going to do something, right? He continues to do something. Tonight, we're going to talk about the habit of availability. That's moving from intention to participation. Your pastor's going to challenge you on that before we leave here tonight. So let's just dive right in. Availability is that position that offers God your time, your gifts, your relationships, your resources, and influence for how he wants to move through you. Through you. I want to move through you, and I need your giftings. I need some of your talents. I need some of your relationships. Whatever. God's going to use you. What that really means is living willing, open, and usable. Living willing, open, and usable. I'm ready for whatever God calls me to do. Wherever he wants to send you. Whoever he wants to send you to. So I'm going to run you through a few points tonight. And hopefully that you'll see some things that maybe you haven't seen before. We're going to start right with availability. Now this is the process, the pattern of availability biblically. We're going to talk about the pattern or the process through it to help us realize that availability in our lives, okay? So the first thing we're going to talk about is availability begins with a surrendered heart or something that's surrendered in your life, and it becomes really personal, like really personal. So let's dive into Isaiah 6:8. We've used this scripture before, but I am going to show you some things you have not seen before, and it reads like this. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. Now you know the story. If you don't, I'll give you a quick context to the story. Isaiah is being commissioned, called by God into prophetic ministry to be the messenger to Judah, Israel, to send God's message to them. And God is calling his name. The king is dead, had been in the kingdom ruling for decades, Uzziah. Leprosy started really well, ended a little bit poorly. The countryside is spiritually kind of in upheaval. It's upheaval politically, you know, it's just kind of a season of intense unrest. Can I say it like that? Just, you know, angst. So God's looking for somebody to go speak his message back to the people. And that's what's going on here. And he reaches down for this guy to see if he would be willing, to see if he would be available, right? And you know the story probably, that the commissioning, the calling of Isaiah is when he sees the vision in the heavens. The Bible says he sees God high and lifted up, right? He sees the seraphim, the angelic beings, flying around the throne, serving God, right? Now, you know what a seraphim is, right? Angelic being. These were ones with three sets of wings. Do you remember that in the scripture? One set covers its eyes in reverence to God, not to look upon the throne. God created these beings, right? The other pair of wings around their feet, right? In humility to God. But then God left a pair of wings for what? To fly around and be available when he calls. See, the word availability shows up at the throne, right? So God sends one of these angelic beings to Isaiah. If you remember the story, the coal from the altar, hot onto the lips of Isaiah. Remember that story, folks? Commissioning him into service, right? There is three words that happened when he was calling him. There was an encounter with heaven, there was a surrender by Isaiah, and then there was cleansing. And there is a process there. And in the short moments of the vision, those three things are taking place. Okay, surrender, cleansing, through an encounter with heaven. Now, Isaiah didn't have a perfect life, but he offered a surrendered life. He offered a surrendered life. Send me. Send me. He knew it wouldn't be easy. People weren't always accepting of things back in the ancient times, and they're no better today. We are no better today, right? You know, you notice there, Isaiah doesn't say, Lord, send someone. He recognized that somebody needed to go speak for heaven, for God, back to the people, a messenger, right? That's what it is. But he doesn't say, I recognize you can send somebody. Somebody needs to go. That was what the country was not, you know, it was in unrest. Angst. He didn't say send somebody, recognizing that somebody needed to go. He says send me. I don't even know what I'm getting into, but I'm willing to go. So he could have said send somebody, and he never had that conversation because he jumps right to I will be available and you can send me. A lot of times we say, God, send somebody. Church, I'm telling you, when you say send somebody, God's probably sending you to do it. And a lot of times we say, God, where are you? Send somebody to fix this situation. It probably is you. I would challenge you tonight to start talking like, God, I'll do it. Just send me. And that's what he did here, right? He offered himself. He offered himself. In this context, if you're going to be unavailable, you say, Lord, send somebody else or send someone. But in this case, he says, Lord, send me. You know, it also means I will be available, but it also means in this context, start with me is what it means. Not only am I willing to do it, I want you to start with me to do it. Lord, send me. Start with me. Just stop and let that settle in for a night tonight, church. Lord, I want to be the first to go. Start with me. Now, there's something we don't say a lot. But in the context here, he's saying, send me, start with me. Romans 12:1 says it like this. He's offering your body as a living sacrifice. Start with me. Shows up when Paul writes the Romans, start with me. See, availability is surrender with our name on it. It's surrender with my name and your name on it. I'm teaching you the process of availability. Lord, start with me. Okay? Availability forfeits convenience. Availability forfeits convenience. Okay? So I thought about what story in God's word could I just give, and I'm just going to use the one I used at Christmas time. Mary was inconvenienced, right? Mary, Jesus' mother, talk about inconvenience, right? She forfeited convenience. Luke 1:38, I am the Lord's servant, she answered when she was called. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. When that happened, if you remember, I taught on this during the Christmas season. When that happened is when the angel left. When Mary made herself available and confirmed it to the angel who was visiting her, then the angel was satisfied and left, knowing that she would be willing and available. Then the angel departed. You ever get that feeling that someone's just hammering on you to do something? You've got this feeling that just doesn't go away. I know I'm supposed to do it. How many times have my wife and I heard that from people? I know it's me. And we would say, then be you, right? I know it's me. Then go do it, right? When we have a Sunday morning service, people come up to us sometimes afterwards and say, well, Pastor, I think I had the message that day. I had the interpretation, or I said, then why didn't you do it? I don't know. I said, well, make yourself available. Well, I did. Well, we didn't, because you didn't do it. Everybody would be looking at me. I said, have everybody look at you or have heaven wonder why you didn't do it, right? The power of availability. Availability begins when obedience becomes more important than convenience. When we are obedient over convenience, you know, church, you're starting to get the understanding of the word. Obedience trumps convenience, right? Let me give you an example. Now, I've mentioned this before about forfeiting convenience. I want to single out one of our ministries here, and I've done this before, and I want to single out, talk about forfeiting convenience, cleaning people at CP Church. Forfeit convenience. Now, I know you all do, and I am just blessed. We are blessed when you all, so many people serve here. But the people that I think probably forfeit convenience more than anybody are the ones that clean the toilets. I'm serious, right? Robin, what do you think? Robin, who heads up the cleaning ministry, among many other ministries that she makes herself available for. They don't get paid. They make themselves available. And they do what God's called them to do in the season they are in. And I thank you for that. I have the same thankfulness in my heart for all our ministries because people make themselves available. Let's move on. Availability grants God access to what you already have. Okay, hold on. Exodus 4:2. The Lord said to him, Moses, what is that in your hand? Moses is being called to head back to Egypt and deliver God's people from Pharaoh. He's fearful. He doesn't feel like he measures up. Right? Standing before the burning bush, Mount Sinai, he says, you know, he's like, what? And God says to him, what do you have in your hand? What he's saying is, you have enough. If you just make yourself available with what you have, I do the rest. So he reminds him and says, what's in your hand? Is that a staff? Trying to get him to start to think about things, right? You don't need to have anything other than me. And he's saying, whatever you have right now is enough as long as I am with you. Make yourself available. Come off the mountain and start walking. right? An insecure, fearful guy, feeling like we do, very inadequate. He's going to go back and confront Pharaoh on behalf of the Lord thy God to let my people go. What do you have in your hand? Church, what do you have tonight in your life that you can make available for heaven? You're going to learn some things about that tonight. That no matter what you think you have enough tonight. You have enough. God didn't begin with what Moses lacked. He didn't start with what he was missing. He started with what he already had. And that was enough. That's enough. See, a lot of times we think we need something more before God is going to use us in something that he wants us to do. That is not the case. He will equip us, but the word availability shows up. And that's something that God's got to work us through, because we are the ones that feel inadequate and insecure and fearful. A staff in his hand, a surrendered hand, and eventually a willing life. And what happened? God delivered millions from Egypt. Right? Why? Because a man stood on the side of a mountain and decided he would make himself available. And he decided to go. Right? Isn't that how the story goes? Insecurity would say, I don't have enough. I don't have enough. But availability says, God, use what I have. And that's what happened there. Remember John 6, 9, the boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed the 5,000? His lunchbox? That's all he had, right? And that's all he needed. He made that available, right? Remember that story? Availability moves you from receiving to participating. From receiving to participating. Now, Simon Peter's on the edge of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is out there teaching, right? As the story goes, and the crowd starts to press in. Luke 5, 1 through 11, right? That crowd is pushing in. So Jesus identifies a couple boats on the edge of the water. I'm paraphrasing before we get to the scripture. He identifies a couple boats. One of the boats is owned by Simon Peter, right? Peter has a boat. Why? Well, Peter's a fisherman, right? And he just got off his shift. And the shift was midnight. Don't you love midnight shift? I love midnight shift, Pastor. That's my favorite shift. Love that shift, right? They just got off and they're tired and they're exhausted. And as the scripture says, they caught nothing. But Jesus is saying, you know, he's preaching and teaching and the crowd's pressing in on him. So he looks over there, he sees a couple boats, and he decides, I got to get in one of those boats and get out into the water to give me some room, some more people. So he asked Simon Peter, hey, let me use that boat, right? Let me use the boat. And he says, okay. Jesus hops in the boat. He pushes him out a little bit, so he continues to teach. See, we always know the story about what happened because, you know, about the fish, and we're going to get to that. But there's a piece there. It's so subtle, we never see what happened. We don't see it. You're going to see it tonight. Luke 5, 4 through 5, when he had finished speaking. Now, he's speaking to everybody, right? He said to Simon Peter, now, go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Oh, we know this story, right? We know this story. Master, Simon replied, we work hard all last night, and we didn't catch nothing. We didn't catch a thing. Can you see it? Because we all say it, right?
dear, I worked all day at the church, right? I can't mow the grass tonight. I can't fix the printer today. Is that what happened, right? I'm buzzing through the house. I can't, you know, I got to get to church. The printer's broke. I got to print. I got worship team practice, you know. All that, right? I'm tired. I can't do it.
We worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But then he says, nevertheless, I will. Church, that is availability. Right there. That is availability. I worked all night, caught nothing. Nevertheless, I'll do what you say. And I'll go back out. It's not about fish. It's about calling. It's about calling. Peter's life being repositioned from fish to people. Peter gave Jesus access to his boat. That's what I'm going to talk about here for the next minute or two. What we miss there is the fact that Jesus asked the guy first for his boat. I need to borrow your boat. Now, that means probably not a whole lot to you, and maybe it doesn't mean a whole lot to me, but let me put it in context in the story for this. Back then, the boat was everything. It was his schedule. I worked the night shift. It was his livelihood. It's everything he had to do what? To earn a living. It's like a mechanic that has really these all these really cool tools, right? Without the cool tools, they're not really a mechanic. They need the tools of the trade. The boat was extremely important. It wasn't just a boat. It was life. It was food. It was money. It was rent. It was everything that you and I experience today in this. And this guy, who he didn't know super well, says, hey, I want to borrow it. We missed that part. It's like someone comes up to you, folks, and says, I want you to do something for me. And you don't know them really well, but you're getting to know them a little bit. And they want to take something that you need to live on, whatever that may be. It's your livelihood. It's how you support you and your family, and think about that. And he gave it up. Not only did he give up the boat, he did what was commanded and made himself available. He made what was important to him available, his livelihood, and then he listened to the command and said, okay, nevertheless, I'll go out and I will fish some more, even though I caught nothing all night. Church, that is like the definition of availability. As you know, Jesus wasn't after fish, and he was after his life. He's repositioning Peter from thinking about catching fish to catching and going after people. So he starts to teach him, you've got to give up some things and make some things available for me to get some things from you. And he starts the process of teaching him, and he asked him for the boat first. What would have happened if he wouldn't have given up the boat? And why did he ask Simon Peter for the boat when there were other fishermen, because there were other boats? I want that guy. I want that guy to make himself available because I have a plan for him. The most simple thing he asked him to do was first give him the boat and then push him out. What is God asking us to do? That's really simple. That seems mundane, that we have to give something up and we don't think much of it, but it's God just running us through the process of teaching us to be available. See, the consumer thinking of us today, we would say on that story, what am I going to get out of it? What am I going to receive? But the available thinking that Peter had was, how can I participate? How can I get involved in this? I'm going to do it. Nevertheless, I will. How many times have we said, folks, I'm not seeing it. I'm not going to do it, right? This guy says, nevertheless, I'm going to do it. And you know the story, right? He cast his net into the water, and guess what? He got some fish, right? As the story goes. James 1:22 said, be doers of the word. The same concept, just do. Listen, an aligned life is incomplete until it becomes available to God. You could position for more on the whole series and align yourself with heaven, do all the habits that we have taught, and go back through all the messages that I have spoken and preached on, but if you're not making yourself available, it's all incomplete. You've got to make yourself available for what God wants to do through you, right? Your availability creates an environment where increase can grow in your life. Pastor Nicole taught us that. Here's a biblical pattern in the early church in Acts 2, 46 through 47. I broke it down to this. Breaking bread from house to house is what they did. The church was birthed. Remember in Acts chapter 2. And there's a part of the scripture in there, breaking bread from house to house. What does that mean? That means from house to house to house to house to house. What did they do? They continued to do it. What does that mean? They continued to make themselves available to break bread and multiply the church exponentially. Now, they didn't have to do that. They could have shut the door and said, I'm not eating no more. What Pentecostal person would do that, right? Nobody, right? We're still feeling the pizza from 6 o'clock, right? They shared breaking of bread, folks, in the early church. They multiplied the church by making their homes available, shared meals available, prayer was available, and then they built relationships. They made relationship building available. They were open to all of it. And they didn't know exactly how that would look, but they just made themselves available, and they just did it. Come on into my house. I've got food. We'll talk about Jesus. Do you know who that is? Come on in. I will pray with you. Did you hear the news about this guy? Come on in. Let's share a meal, and let's talk about this guy. I know stories about this guy that you don't know, and you probably know some stories too. Let's share the stories. And they availed themselves to one another. And they started telling stories. They started telling stories. You and I are the byproduct of the story. Of people getting together and doing what we just did at 6 o'clock. Eating pizzas, sharing stories, loving on one another, relationship building, praying together. See, comfort would say, my personal home and my space is only for me. It's only for me. Availability says, I'll make room for you. No matter what, I'll make room for you. Romans 12:13 says, share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality, just like we've been doing. Right? So here's a question for you, folks. These last couple months, as we've been studying this, what has God been forming inside of you? Think about that. What's he formed inside of you? Because we started the series on God forming. You made yourself available, and he starts to form something inside of you. But here's the bigger question. As this night wraps up and our series comes to a conclusion Sunday, the deeper question is, how will I make myself available for what God wants to do through me? What do I got to do? Availability is where we stop asking God only to bless what we're doing and begin offering ourselves for what he wants to do. We stop asking God to bless what he's doing here and say, God, I'll just be available for you to do something new through me. Now, is it bad to pray blessed? No, of course not. But I think God wants to do a new thing. I think God's got something up his sleeve. I think God is waiting for Cross Point Church to be more available than ever. But we don't actually know what that future may look like. So we say, Lord, start with us. And we're the ones that will take the leap of faith and say, just start with me. I'll do it. As Isaiah did. When you walked in here tonight, church, you should have been handed the availability audit handout. Did you get that? We've been passing these out every week. If you don't have one or you don't have one from a previous week, they're at the VIP Center. They're also inside the Church Center app under the devotion, the daily devotion. The whole Divine Habit series of these are there. But let's look at this for a couple of minutes. Availability is the position that offers God your time, your gifts, your relationship, which is what they did in Acts 2 around the shared meal, right? Your resources, your influence. Why? For something that he desires to do through you. You have something that kingdom, the heaven, wants to use. You have something. Number one says, what has God already placed in your hands? Church, he gave you time. Oh, pastor, I don't have time. You have time. Now, you might not manage it well, or you might allocate time to things that aren't near as important as kingdom is, but you have the time, right? You have gifts and abilities that I don't have. All these worship team members have giftings and abilities that the pastor does not have. Some of them have the giftings of preaching and playing, like Pastor Tim, right? I don't have those giftings like he does. What has he placed in your hands? Relationships. Resources. Influence you have. Everybody sitting here tonight and watching online has a circle of influence that God has placed you in. That I am not there, but you are, right? You have your home that you can do exactly what they did in Acts 2 and make available to somebody or go to somebody else's home, right? The question I put there is, what am I currently offering to God that he can use? Think about that, church. Where am I already serving or pouring out? Am I serving in a prayer ministry? Any kind of serving ministry, encouraging, gifting, giving, hospitality, discipleship, leadership, helping others, sharing my testimony, other. You know, you're supposed to check the box on your own. This is where I'm at. This is me today, right? Where do I see God already using my life? Where does God have me positioned today, right? What am I positioning? What am I doing? On the back it says, where have I become unavailable? You knew that was coming, right? My schedule's too full. I already jumped to that one. I feel unqualified. I'm waiting for somebody else. Send them. I am protecting my comfort. I'm afraid of being inconvenienced. I do not know where to start. I'm going to give you the opportunity to start in a minute. I have been spiritually passive or some other area. Where am I making myself? Church, we make ourselves unavailable. It's not as much as being available as we make ourselves unavailable. If we would stop making ourselves unavailable, we'd be available, right? That's why I put that question there. What could God increase if I made more room? If I made myself more available, what could God do? What could he increase? My spiritual influence. Everybody would want that, right? My relationships, my impact on others, my usefulness in the church, my capacity to encourage other people, the gifting of encouragement, which is what my wife has, among other gifts. She is a great gifted encourager. My ability to help others grow. There are people sitting here tonight or watching online that have this gift to help other people grow in their faith. They have this gift to do it, probably better than the pastors on staff here at Cross Point Church. You have the gifting to do it. Are you using it? Is that you? Right? Are you making yourself available to help somebody else grow in their faith? My participation in the community. We have an obligation, right? The church is talking to a number of groups about landing ministries in our church. Why? Because we have a duty to make ourselves available, like we have with the college next door, who I met with today, and other. We are here to be a lighthouse to the community and partner with them and help them. We will be available for them, right? Where do I sense God inviting me to make more room? Where can I make myself more available? Well, I'm going to tell you. You know, as I started putting this series together when I was on sabbatical, God started laying on my heart an 8-week series and Wednesday night studying habits. And then when I started praying over the habits, they weren't the habits that I thought were going to rise to the surface. They weren't anything near what I thought. I thought there'd be forgiveness and some other ones, and and they weren't. They were the habits that we studied. And I feel like, we would end tonight and we would have, we're not making ourselves further available. Like, we do close down our Wednesday journey night throughout the summer because I want people to get a rest. And this year, God just started laying on my heart months ago saying, we're going to do that. But we can't discontinue making ourselves available for what God wants to do and how God wants to move. So what we're going to do, church, is this. We're going to launch throughout the summer. We're going to have home life groups. And I'm going to ask our church to make themselves available to do what the Acts chapter 2 model says, share a meal, go into somebody's house and just fellowship and have a time of fellowship in somebody's home. So we've identified 4 leaders, couples or leaders, to launch our home life groups for the summer. And it's going to be really light. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask you to meet every other week. So it's not even as much time as what you have been doing. You have made yourself available every Wednesday night for 6 weeks. And if you've been coming, you've been making yourself available every Wednesday night for months. So now I'm going to ask you to make yourself available to partner with a life group that I'll identify here in a second. Might be on the board. There they are. It's your reading. We're going to launch into life groups. So we're going to end tonight. We're going to make a call for available people to go, and we'll call them up in a minute, connect with them. And what we're going to do throughout the summer is we're going to meet 6 times every other week for an hour and a half. You can give an hour and a half of your time every other week. Why? You've been giving much more time on a Wednesday night. And I'm going to watch, and we're going to watch together what happens when you share time with somebody in a home life group in fellowship. And I've asked us to study something. Study is probably not even the word. The church is going to put out a, what's the word? The document. Group discussion guide. My goodness. Thank you. Church, I'm getting older, right? I'm getting older. Group discussion guide. The group discussion guide is going to be put out by the church to all our group leaders, and we're going to ask you to discuss the message on a Sunday morning. So all you have to do is show up, and there'll be a discussion guide. It'll be light. It'll be fun. You'll be around the fire. I think John Corbett's going to have a fire in his place, right? There he is. And they're just going to sit around the fire and talk about what the pastor talked about on Sunday morning, probably have a good donut or two, and I hope someone has iced tea, right? And has some iced tea, talk about what the pastor talked about on Sunday morning, and you're going to study that a little bit deeper, okay? So here's what we're going to do. Pastor Mike and Christine are going to lead the group, as you see behind me, on Sundays, starting on June 7th at 5 o'clock. Pastor Mike, would you do me the honor and come up here? Pastor Mike wore his Sunday best today. Yes. Right? If you need to put your jacket on, you can put your jacket on. But there's a lot of lights that just might blind us, right? Pastor Mike and Christine are going to lead a life group for an hour and a half starting on June 7th, Sunday, June 7th at 5 o'clock at their home. They're going to open up their home, okay? Andrea Peterson, there she is. Andrea is going to lead, back to Pastor Mike. Yeah, kids are welcome. I'm sorry. It probably says that back up there, right? They got kids. You can bring kids, and they'll kill each other, right? You'll have kids. You'll have a great time, right? Their house is kid-proof, right?
We have insurance.
We have insurance, right? Right, let's just pray right now. Andrea is going to lead a group of adults 25 to 40 years old. Okay? Andrea is going to lead a group of adults 25 to 40. If you're 24, you can go. Yes. If you're 41 or 42, yes, you can go. You have to pay extra, but you can go. Those are going to start on Sunday. You know, I'm just teasing. That's going to start Sunday, June 14th at 6:30 p.m. at your house. Yep. John and Barb Corbett. John is right here. Barb, are you out there somewhere? Barb, would you come down for your pastor, please? They are going to lead. Now, this is what God's laid on these people's hearts. They're going to lead a group of seniors, 60 years old or older. This couple has been around here for a while. They are a blessing. John's a pastor. Now he's working at a local ministry, the former principal of Heritage Christian School, right? His lovely wife, Barb, who's now diving into the cafe ministry, among other ministries. She makes bean coffee, right? They're going to have the seniors 60 plus. Now, if you're 59, you can go, right? Wednesday's June 10th at 7 p.m. I'll get to the addresses in a second. Al and Sharon Peterson are going to lead a general life group. Sharon, would you come down? Now, I know Al is not able to make it tonight, but Sharon certainly can represent the family by herself. They will lead a general life group starting on Sunday, June 7th at 5 o'clock. My wife and I will be attending all the life groups. Nicole and I are going to go group to group, right? There she is out there, right there.
The We're only one we really qualify for, hon, is 60 plus. Sorry. Just saying. Well, you.
Wow. I feel the love. I feel the love. I feel the love.
I couldn't resist. My
church
sorry.
Love. Right. I'm 60 years old. Well, that's not even true. I'm 61
Some change.
Now. 61 years old, but I feel 30, right? I feel 30. Yeah. Yeah, you can clap for that, right? We're going to go group to group. So, church, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. If you have the Church Center app, you can sign up for the group. Now, I don't want to leave any one of these fine leaders that are going to make themselves available and lead a group. I don't want to have any of our groups have no one attending. I'm going to ask you to make yourself available. It's only six times the entire summer for an hour and a half. I have a feeling that they will grow because we're going to ask our groups to invite other people, not just church people, but invite friends and family and let the groups grow throughout the summer. And they'll be talking about the message that we will be preaching, whether it's be me or Pastor Mike or anybody else that's maybe throughout the summer here sharing with us. You will study what they have been preaching about that Sunday, okay? So I'm going to ask if you got the Church Center app that you can sign up right there, right, Pastor Christine? They can sign up right on the Church Center app. Is that the, or they can sign up at the VIP Center? Can they do that? All right. Is there any other way they can sign up that I don't know about? They do. Okay. So you could either do it on the Church Center app or you could do it out at the VIP Center. We will announce this again on Sunday, and we will start promoting it. Now, I'm anticipating that other people will make themselves available to launch a group through the summer. So we're asking you to give 3 hours a month. 3 hours a month, okay? You okay with that, church? Can we do that? Have you decided to do that? Have you decided to make yourself available? I pray that you have done that. As we wind down our Wednesday night, I'm going to ask you to make yourself available and sign up and watch what God does. It's exactly what they did in Acts chapter 2. Share a meal, some fellowship, some study, some Jesus stories, right? Church, let's do that. Let's make ourselves available. Let's pray together as we wind up our Wednesday night Divine Habit Study. Lord God, I make myself available to you. Father God, I have decided that that's a very important word. And I believe, Lord God, that the people of Cross Point Church believe the same. That you have taught us in your word that that word is powerful, Lord. That available is what you're looking for in us. Lord God, let Cross Point Church make themselves available and say to themselves tonight and Sunday and the next couple Sundays, I've decided I'm going to make myself available, and I have decided that I'm going to follow Jesus more than ever. And I pray that for this church, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Church, let's go out tonight singing, I've decided.